are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Are you ready?
Stand by in one.
I invite you to let this be your moment.
Ready, mic one. Cue tape. And roll.
Make this your moment. Look back at this day and say, this is a day when something happened that really mattered in my life.
And we're live. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I am here to journey with you to a new day, a new moment. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. He is about to show you how your story can touch the lives of others while bringing glory to Him. It's not too late. Today, this moment can be the start of the best rest of your life. So join thousands of women from all around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Well, good morning, everyone. It's Kim again with Coffee. Remember, Coffee stands for Conversations of Friends of Faith to encourage and equip. And it is our prayer that this day will really matter in your life, that we can bring purpose and potential to lives and show each other how much we really matter. Well, June has been a month-long celebration of fatherhood, hasn't it? Celebrating the God-ordained roles of being a dad. And it is a God-ordained role. We know that from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 19. God says, for I have chosen him that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about what he has promised. Well, there's a lot in there, isn't it? The role of the father, the role of the dad, and the birth of a child and what that brings into a family unit. So today, the most special guest that I want to tell you about, and I'll give you a little bit of the backstory. It all began on September 14th, 1987. That's when I guess I would truly say that as I look back, it was the first day of the best rest of my life, and I mean that with my whole heart. At approximately 1 p.m., our 11 and a half bundle of joy came bursting into this world, known on his birth certificate as Ralph Lee Cable Jr., a.k.a. known as the nurse's little Hercules, because of his strength, his endurance, his resolve, and his determination to not stay in that crib. He was ready to start shaking up this world even then. Later, he became known as Trey Trey to us, and now and to the world known as Trey. Lee, his dad, Trey, as our first breath, and we refer to our last and second son, our last breath. Many of you know, if you know me at all, you know that Trey rocked my world. And his very presence showed me and became a love within me, an instantaneous love that began chiseling away at my heart. I can tell you that Trey was the beginning, was my first ever prayer come true. My first memory after giving birth to Trey was a nurse coming in my peripheral vision to take him away. And I recall holding him so ever so tightly, thinking, not my baby. You will never take my baby. And thus our story began 30 years ago, holding on to him, trying to provide and guide, and even learning to let go when needed. But within this little boy's eyes, I began to find myself, and I wanted to become all that he needed me to be. I wanted to become all that I could be. 30 years ago, and we have walked, crawled, jumped, and run across many milestones in all those years. And today, my friends, we stand before yet another glorious milestone that is even beyond words to me. Friends of Coffee, all my friends across the nation, it gives me such great honor to introduce to you the husband of Catherine, the brother to Trey, the vice president of Subair Global Corporation, and my son Trey, who now will add another hat as he is soon to be a father. Welcome, Trey. I'm so glad to have you on the show today. Welcome, sweet boy.
Thank you. How the... That was a heck of an intro right there. I don't know if I deserved all that, but that was great.
Well, you definitely do. Absolutely do. And, oh, my gosh, I think back and I think about our roles and our lives and all the things, and we could talk forever and a day. But today I want us to talk about, you know, where you are and, you know, and just how you got to be who you are and where you are and what stands before you. But before we move forward, let's move back just a little bit. Take me back, because another milestone in our lives that has forever touched my life and definitely your life happened on August 5th of 2017. Tell us what happened that day, Trey.
Up until this point, that was the best day of my life, and that was when I got to marry Catherine. And, you know, it's just kind of a really cool story that goes behind that. But, you know, the reality is in all of these milestones, I think that, you know, the Lord continues to reveal himself more. He certainly revealed himself more than he ever has that day, just by giving me something that, you know, as a human and, you know, we're all simple beings, but something that I certainly didn't deserve, but blessing me with Catherine and ultimately knowing, you know, through a lot of the trials and tribulations of my life, knowing where my road would lead, you know, his words lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And, you know, he goes before us to prepare our ways, you know, and he has plans for good and for us to prosper. And so you start to see all those answers to prayers and all those trials and tribulations, you start to see kind of what they're for and why you went through them on a day like that day when you get to look at somebody, you know, in the eyes and watch them look at you, knowing that they're not necessarily, I mean, you know, Catherine gets a lot of confidence from me and in our relationship, but, you know, knowing that she's looking at me and not necessarily seeing me, but seeing the man that, the Lord enables me to be, you know, that's an unbelievable gift, and a huge responsibility at the same time that really, really changed the rest of my life for sure.
Oh my gosh. How eloquently put. You said a lot right there, buddy. And I just, would like to dissect that so much, because first of all, let's tell everybody, because people don't know anything about Catherine. Explain Catherine to us.
Oh, gosh. Most beautiful person in the world, for sure. And, you know, I think she came into our family's life. She was 11 or 12 and right. Was a little sister to us for the majority of our lives. And, you know, obviously got mentored by you, and I kind of looked after her as a protector role, and, you know, she'd call me here and there with little bits and pieces of, you know, when she needed advice or something like that. But, you know, it wasn't until, you know, we were both in different relationships, both in different places in our life, and then, you know, the Lord kind of brought us together in a much different way a couple years ago, so...
Yeah,
unbelievable person with a huge heart. She's from a big family, so you know, she she brings a different dynamic into our relationship and challenges me every day to be a better person. She's, you know, just one of the godliest people that I've ever been around in my life, and certainly keeps me on track in that way. And, you know, her parents, she had excellent role models who really instilled the word into her. So she even though we're young in our marriage relationship, she's very aware of what it means to be a wife. And her dad went through Proverbs with her, you know, the whole Bible, but especially Proverbs, and especially in the Proverbs where it goes through, you know, a godly woman and, you know, not only what it means to find a wife, but what it means to be a wife. So it kind of touches on both of our roles, and you know, certainly embodies a lot of what I hope our daughter will one day.
Well, that's exactly, you know, that's one of the things. Of course, you know how much we love Catherine, and Mom said, I just want you to know that this is something that Trey and I told you and Catherine this. I told you all just a few weeks ago, I think I probably told you several times, but I began praying for Catherine. I didn't know her name. I didn't know who she was going to be, but soon after you were born, I began praying because a wise woman told me to. I began praying for the godly wife that you would have. And I was also told, and you will know her when you see her. And which takes me down a whole different road because, listeners, I want you to know that this mom was not easy. I loved everyone at Trey brought home, but I kept waiting for that one that I knew in my spirit was her chosen one. And I just remember when you and Catherine told me that you all were getting married, I knew, you know, that God had brought you all together. I had no doubt that God had brought you all together. And I love Catherine. I love everything about her ever since she was a young girl. So moms, keep praying for your sons and your daughters' future spouses. But what I also would encourage you to do that I didn't do, that now, Trey, you will agree with me because you just said that, is that I didn't pray that she would come. I prayed for the godly wife. I didn't even pray for the godly in-laws. And that is another thing that, oh, my gosh, you living in Georgia and we living in Baltimore, to know that you are surrounded by a family down there who undergirds your marriage and gives you that godly counsel or just support, not that you really need the counsel, but the support, it's priceless, isn't it?
Oh, sure. I need counsel every single day. So sometimes I don't think I do, but I do.
yeah, I know. Well, and I'm very thankful. And so for our listeners, I think the first principle that you've heard Trey talk about right now, well, first was that I love that he said all roads, all trials and tribulations, just hang in there and God brings you to a good place, Trey said. Trey, what was that scripture? You quoted many scriptures there. What were some of those that you quoted that could be? I know you did Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
And I know.
There's just a couple in there that all kind of mean, they all kind of tie into each other and are certainly, you know, good motivators and just different ways to keep you on track as you're
right. So one of the first things you said there is never give up, that God will use everything you're going through to get you to where you eventually want to be. And then I came in with, you know, pray for that future spouse, because God will answer those. So that's kind of where we are, Trey. So we've gotten to where that gorgeous wedding, which was incredible. It began raining right in the middle. It was so funny how it all came together and how God just opened up the skies and the most beautiful sun. It was just an incredible event, and it was just beautiful. So now that was last August. So now we're here, and you all have just found out that your parents, or parents-to-be. So let me ask you this. What were your first thoughts when you found out you were going to be a dad?
Well, I think that for some odd reason, I think quickly, and I can go, well, my first thought was just an extreme amount of excitement. you know, just you immediately look at your wife different, and right when you think you can't love her anymore, something like this happens. But you know, we were just finished up a long week. I had a lot of clients come in for a golf tournament down here, and we were just laying in bed, and you know, we always do this thing with Turner. You kind of pull him up and cuddle with him,
and who is Turner?
He's our first little love. He's a little 15.2-pound Shih Tzu.
Yes, he is. And who Turner was.
Yeah. So she just kind of looked over and said, well, it's time for all four of us to cuddle. And I was so tired at that time. It didn't really register. And then it happened. Then I figured it out. And we both started crying. And
aww.
It was simple. And so, you know, you immediately get excited and, you know, think about what that's going to be like to, you know, watch your wife. I've wanted to be a parent for a long time, but watch your wife go through those stages and be able to be there with her through that. But, you know, then of course, you know, kind of like repeating what I said earlier, but you start to immediately just see the Lord so much more clearly and understand his love. You know, when you think back on your life, and of course I'm very performance driven, but, you know, you think about the things that you've gone through personally and whatever else, and realize all in kind of one instant how much you don't deserve, you know, a gift like that, but just how much the Lord loves us and how amazing his grace is whenever he can still give you just the most incredible blessing that in my mind is possible, at least on this earth, which is, you know, a family. And so it really is really cool. A cool moment, and then kind of all at once, then you start, you know, then my dad comes out to me, and I start swinging into the, you know, provider, let's get things on track role. So in about 5 minutes, I kind of ran the gamut of emotions, and then we, you know, kind of landed on our feet a little bit.
Yeah, I bet it wasn't easy to go to sleep that night either. I can imagine you rolling and tossing and turning, because you are probably one of the most excitable guys I've ever met in my life. We still just chuckle. I mean, it's so hard. Your excitement just kind of creates joy in the room. And you're not, and you're not the best at keeping secrets. And I remember Lee and I were kidding last night about how it must have been so horrible for you to wait for he and I to get into Augusta to actually, for you and Cassie, tell us together that you were going to have this child, because you were the type. I remember when you were like 4 years old and you went shopping with your dad for my Christmas, and you walked in, your little hands in your pocket and that little smirk on your face, and you looked up and you said, "Mommy, you're going to love those golf clubs Daddy just got you for Christmas." You know, so I can't imagine you know, how it must have taken you, the restraint it took you to not tell. And I can't imagine the restraint it must be taking you to wait until December when this little girl is going to be born. Oh, I just let out the news. It is a little girl.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That was the most unbelievable kind of change of events. Of course, you know, I think as a guy, you're growing up, you always want a little boy, and you think about all the things you did, and, you know, riding dirt bikes, playing baseball. Of course, it's a lot easier. You know, you think about a boy, and if he gets picked on, you can teach him to be tough, or if he falls, you can, you know, teach him to get back up and, you know, stop crying and get back at it. And, you know, all the things that I feel like I've been taught would be relatively easy. You know, not easy, of course, but I feel like I have a better roadmap with a boy. And then it's just funny how the Lord works, because putting this girl into the mix, and I've had so many people tell me this, and it's so true, you know, the best blessing and the best way for this thing to have played out is a girl, because I've got no idea what to do. And that's the best place for me to be in, because it'll force me to do what I need to do, which is get out of my own way, rely on the Lord, and rely on my wife to really help me. And certainly with the Lord lead us through this situation. And so, you know, I think my expectations will be much different with a little girl. Not that they'll be any less you know, strict or anything, but you know, instead of the severe discipline, which I'm sure my firstborn would have gotten if he was a boy, I think I'm gonna have to restrain myself from spoiling this whole thing a little bit.
I think so too, and I will tell you, I will be second in line of that of trying to discipline myself. I will try to follow your lead, but I also will go on to tell you that everything that that you are and you are to everyone else, your daughter is going to. I can't believe I'm saying that. Your daughter is going to just be amazing to have that covering of protection that you give, and just knowing people. I've heard whether you were, you know, on a baseball team or a football team, all the many sports you played, all the many different roles of leadership that you've had, one thing always has remained constant was people would always say, Trey always has your back. He is the strongest leader I've ever known. So that will bring so much, everything that little girl needs. So I am so excited. I can't hardly stand it. We are going to have to take a little break. So we're going to take a 30-second break now, and I will invite callers if anyone has a question or a comment and would like to talk to either of us. I invite you to call 347-324. Call that number to listen, or if you would like to speak to us, press 1, and they will put you into a virtual green room, and we will be alerted that you're on, and we will bring you on. Trey, I just love having you with us. When we get back, we're going to talk about, my first question is going to be, do you have any worries as a father-to-be, and what do you do with those worries? We'll be right back, listeners, in 30 seconds.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see, every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments, it doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back to Coffee with Kim. Remember, coffee is conversations of friends of faith to encourage and equip. And boy, don't we need those conversations every day. I'm delighted to have this platform of Up to Me Radio where I can bring on voices of hope and different stories that encourage us and equip us and to help us to do what the Bible says to do, to keep on keeping on, to press on. And to be reminded of what our guest co-host and my son, Trey, reminded us of earlier, that, yes, in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but as we move forward and as we press on, we begin to understand that God is chipping away at us and making us and taking us to a place where is our best place. So, Trey, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I'm so excited for the place that you are in life. We talked about the different, you know, there are so many milestones that we go through in life as a mother-son relationship. And so today I want to encourage our listeners with these relationships that, Trey, what do you think? And I said I was going to do something else, but just like that we should go here. For those moms that are out there who have adult sons, married or not married or whatever, what do you think is the one thing that we can do as moms that really is a good thing for our adult sons? Because, you know, those relationships are tricky and, you know, we're always trying to find our way. Would there be one thing that you would say to a mom out there that maybe is having trouble with her relationship with an adult son?
Well, you know, I think there's two very dramatically, I don't think that's a word, but two different scenarios. You know, of course, it would be substantially different if a son is married or if he isn't. I can speak to my situation.
Well, let's talk to the married sons then. Let's talk to the ones who have married sons.
Yeah, sure. So I think, I think that one of the biggest callings, and you know, I think that for a family, at least from the man's side, you know, is the lead and cleave verse. You know, talking about, you know, how when a man marries his wife, they become one, and the man's supposed to, you know, leave his family and cleave to his wife. And I, you know, of course, I haven't been through this on the parental side, and I think you've done a great job of this too. I think that once a son marries, you know, his wife, I think it's probably the hardest thing for a mom to do, not so much maybe the dad, but for a mom to really, you know, cut that string and press him towards his wife and let that relationship be nourished and be more of a supporter that allows the son to fully develop that relationship with his wife. And you've done a great job of that with Catherine and I. I think that a firstborn son, especially with his mom, is just is an incredibly special bond. I know it is from my side, and of course I know it is from yours too. So I think that's a really tough thing, probably for both sides. I've done a lot of reading about that, especially as, you know, because I didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl, so I've just been doing a lot of research. Kath knows, I almost drive her crazy with it. But, I think that from a mother-son standpoint, the best thing, especially for a newly married couple, for a mom to do is, first of all, instill what it means to be a husband, and I think a lot of that comes from the father too, but instill what it means to be a husband into your son, and then once he finds the one, like you told me one time, draw a circle around you and Catherine, and don't let anything in this world come in between it. Encourage them to go down that route.
Great. That is so good. I feel like that, Trey, that was excellent, and I just feel like that there are some moms that need to hear that, because it can become, you're right. The mother-son relationship is such a bond. And as the father and daughter, you know, that's the one that compares to it. You love your child with all your heart, soul, and mind. And what you want more than anything is for them to go out and be happy, but you just want to go with them. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute now. I'm going to move in. Remember how you used to say, Mom, I'm never going to move out of the house. You did that until you were about four. But it really is. And it's something that I've had to work on finding, because more than anything in the world, it delights, and it should delight a mom's heart that their and daughters are going out and creating their own life and to be able to know. And for me, Trey, this is, and I guess this just comes with age. And for you moms who are listening, I feel like that my role is kind of, and I hope that you see this the way I'm meaning it, is that a mom's role really begins to fade away. It doesn't mean that you're not as important, but to me, the more I can fade into just being a support system, I think it's the role that God would definitely want me to have in, to be able to undergird as much as possible. So thank you, Trey, for that word. I know that you've just spoken to a lot of moms' hearts right there, to let them know that you don't love the mom any less. It's just you've got this, that circle, and your circle becomes, that's who you're responsible for. So, Trey, let me ask you, let's move on. Do you have any worries? And when you think about fatherhood, knowing you, I'm sure you're filled with worries, but is there anything that you, I hear you say you've been doing a lot of research and stuff. That's how you feed your faith rather than your fears of this, isn't it?
The person that's got me for the most part through my life, but especially through this, is Philippians 4:5, and I think it's 4:5 and 6, but you know, be anxious about nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving let your requests be known to God. I think that I'm a worrier by nature. I think I got that from you, but Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things I worry about. You know, I want to be the best dad that I can be. You know, I mean, the great part about it is I'm married to an extremely godly woman, and that takes away so many of my worries because, you know, I know the trust in our relationship and, you know, the paths that both of us take individually are pointed towards the Lord. And of course, you know, he's kind of the third piece of rope in our relationship. So my first worry is just, and it's not a worry, but the first expectation I have for myself is just to be, a godly leader. And I love listening to Jarrett talk about it last week because it was so true. It's so easy not to be in the Word, when things are good. It's so much easier when things are tough. So, just to be, you know, a consistent godly leader for my wife and, you know, and then let that roll over into our children's life, obviously. But, you know, I guess dad was an unbelievable, provider for our family and certainly someone that I strive to be like every day. Actually, Catherine says I'm more and more like him every day, which I consider, the greatest compliment she could give me. So, you know, I've seen dad as a role model. Not to say I'll do everything the same, but certainly, you know, I see Catherine's dad as a role model, and certainly all the guys that you've had on the show are like brothers to me. And, you know, I've got a great base that I don't so much worry as much as I just aspire to be a godly man for my wife and for my daughter and for, you know, Kath wants a bunch of them. So for all of them.
that's awesome. And thank you for that. And, you know, and I don't even know if that was a fair question, but I just felt like, you know, we do immediately begin to worry. And I think that a lot of our worries, even though I think the Bible tells us to not be anxious because God knows we are going to be. And I think it's his way of trying to soothe us out and give us a path that goes, like you said, rather than worry, find God's role models. Find, and I'm glad you mentioned Jarrett because that was really, I know he's like a brother to you and who loves you. And he says, oh, don't you worry. I'm going to be talking to him. I've got two little girls of my own. I can show him how to be a dad. But then I also think about what Corey said, which is exactly, you know, something that you've just said again, is that, you know, you love your wife to love your children. Really big. So, gosh, our time is winding down. I cannot believe we're down to only 20 minutes. Let me ask you this, Trey. And I don't know if this is a fair question, but let me ask this. What has life taught you so far? And these are for our listeners, too. Listeners, think about this question as Trey is answering it. What has life taught you so far that you think can guide you as a dad?
I don't have the answers, quite frankly. And that I can't do this on my own will and strength. You know, I think that every time I start to think that, the Lord yanks something away from me just to remind me of who I am in the grand scheme of his kingdom, which is nothing without him. So, you know, I think that he continues to put more people in my life to shape me into the man that he wants me to be. And ultimately the man that my family deserves. And the more I try to impose my will on that, the further I get away from that, which is not where I need to be.
Wow. That's amazing. I will just tell you, I love, and I always have, Trey, I love our conversations. I love the depth of who you are and how you think. I really admire that so much. And I want to tell you that, you know, you've mentioned some people today, and I know that you're a lot like me in that affirming is a big deal. It's important for me, and I think that you were raised with the thought that it's important to have a few people in your life who believe in you. Not the world, but just to have, remember I used to always put before you all people that I wanted you to be able to trust in, people that I wanted you to look at. We were very careful as a family not to just let anyone come in and be a role model for you in Austin. I wanted to put the people in front of you that you could emulate, that you could look up to, men of integrity. And that's how you got to know Jared and Corey, even as a older in life, they were still older. We all have mentors. So from a little boy up until this day, I think it's important for us to put just a few people in our lives that, that believe in us, and they believe in us enough to give themselves to us and their words. And that's what I see you doing now. I see you giving yourself to others and inspiring others. Coming back to those people who believe in you, I stepped out today, and I have somebody online that I want to bring online now, and he wants to come and share with you why he knows without a doubt be a good dad. So I am bringing online that Trey wanted to speak into you, another one of those who's always been around you, who wants to share with you why he knows you're going to make a great dad, and that is your dad. Lee, are you on? So, listeners, let me tell you, this is Lee, who's just come online, and this is Trey's dad. So, Lee, why do you think Trey's going to make a great dad?
Trey, I really enjoyed your commentary with your mother, and the it certainly reflects the character of who you are. And when your mother said she was having this call with you, I made a few notes and things I wanted to tell you. And the first four words I wrote down is, don't worry, which I know you are, and you're contemplating all the facets of being a new dad, which excites us to no end, I might add. But the four words were, don't worry, you are worthy, son. And that's five words. But all your commentary to your mother certainly is a testament to that, and how you're approaching this event in your life, where you and your wife are going to be blessed with a bundle of unconditional love that'll come into your lives. And I want to let you know that I think that you're, and it's certainly evident in the conversation, you're certainly spiritually and emotionally prepared for this event, and you're continuing to prepare, and you have a lot of life experiences to draw from as well. Your mother and I remember you as always someone who cherished family and family memories, and you brought some of those back to us in many ways in conversation and thoughts of the past. And even more recently, I don't know if you were aware of this, but you sent me a text related to your work, and you attributed something that was said or done in your business, and it reminded you of something that I had done in the past that you had recalled that you thought was worthy of mentioning is something that you felt to be a good thing. So you've been very perceptive of the environment around which you've been raised and live in, and taken from that environment things that you think are the best. And that doesn't mean they always came from your family, that came from others as well. And I'd like to also say that you probably have seen things done a certain way, both from the standpoint of within the context of your immediate family, as well as in the friends that you're familiar with. And you've probably taken notes as well that you would have done that a little differently, which is even a better positive. So you've got an active mind that's always looking for doing, always looking at an opportunity to do something better. And you've always strived to do your best. And I'm sure that'll be as you approach being a father as well. Certainly a testament is in your conversation a moment ago.
Absolutely. And that I agree wholeheartedly with that. Trey, did you hear that? Could you hear that?
Yeah, thanks, Dad. That was great.
Well, we also have online who is back now, so I'm gonna bring him online so we can have both people online. But your father-in-law, who, other than your dad, I think would be the person that you admired as much, is someone who's just come into your life that you've built such a relationship with. Mike, Good morning, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you on with us now? Hey, Mike. So So I'm going to ask you to speak to Trey and Lee and I and actually even our listeners. You know why? And I know that Trey's probably knowing Trey because he doesn't like a lot of outward praise. I know, but I felt like that this was important. For all of us to hear and to give you all the opportunity for Mike, now your father-in-law, Trey, to share with you why he knows you're going to be a great dad.
Yeah, hi, Trey. So everything's coming clear now. Good morning. You know, Trey, if you weren't anxious, you wouldn't be human at this juncture. So that just shows you're alive and a certain level of anxiety, kind of like before a baseball game or before you – I walked Catherine down the aisle to put her hand in your hand. That's just all part of it. But when I think of why you're going to be a good dad, you know, everybody wants to, who's a father, wants to be a good dad. Nobody says, you know, it's really my aspiration to be a bad dad. Everybody would like to be a good dad, but it reminds me of that Bear Bryant quote that says, it's not the will to win, but the will to prepare to win. And my confidence in you, it's not that you want to be a good dad, but rather that you've laid a real solid foundation over many years of the essentials it takes. And the things I think of that mean the most to me is that you're a man of moral integrity. In order for a little girl to flourish and the rest of y'all's children, as the Lord provides, to flourish, they need an environment of security. They need to know that mama loves daddy and daddy loves mama. And probably enemy number one in our society is, you know, unfaithfulness, which all starts with our thoughts and our eyes. And as one author once wrote, it's every man's battle. And I remember that awkward conversation I had with you. It's kind of hard as a dad, where we talked about pornography, and it's something I try and address with every young man pursuing my daughters. Catherine's one of five. Is I know that you are a man who knows how to guard your heart. I know you're a man of faithfulness. I know you're a man who loves, like the marriage vow said, forsaking all others. And that's going to be a safeguard around a healthy marriage till death do you part. And that's going to provide an environment of security in which children can flourish the best. So just your moral integrity, which doesn't just start because you want to be a good dad. It's a foundation that's got to be laid way, way in advance. That's a great source of confidence for me. The other is that you are a spiritual leader. And the scripture says that we are to teach these things, that is the principles of the scripture, to our children diligently when we rise up, when we lie down, when we walk along the way. You're in a good church. Dr. McKinley is awesome. You're under good teaching every week. You read the scriptures every day. But you also have a humble heart, and you seek counsel from older godly men and in a really outstanding way. So you're always on an upward trajectory and trying to be a leader. And Catherine saw that at the very outset, and I see that too. You're a spiritual leader. And I would say this, kind of like, you know, in baseball, if you're batting 400, that's outstanding. Nobody is a perfect leader, and families are very tolerant of our failures, which are inevitable. If we have a servant spirit, and they sense that we are there to serve them like Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many, then when we mess up, as long as we have a humble spirit and ask forgiveness, they're very tolerant of our leadership. And so I could say a whole lot more, but my wife always reminds me less is more, because I tend to be worried. So those are the provision and all that stuff. Yeah, that's very consoling for a father. You'll do an excellent job there. But your moral integrity and your spiritual leadership are the two, those would be number one and two on my confidence score.
Trey, what do you have to say to that? Trey, when I was talking to when Lee and when your dad and I were talking to Mike last night, this is one thing he said that just tickled me to death. He says, you know, when you're looking at perspective, when men come dating your children and your girls, and you know, he says that you pretty much put them in one or two categories: those who need to tighten up, or those who need to lighten up. And he said, I'm always telling Trey, Trey, you are the most determined. You are the you are a go-getter. You need to lighten up a little bit. So I love that. So what do you say, Trey, to these two people who really just, I feel like, are anchors for you?
There's things you don't really expect to hear. I don't really do well listening to all that. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for both of them. You know, I've watched Dad be my dad, and, you know, Austin's dad, obviously, and your husband. And watched him and emulated the way he's conducted business, and you know, the way he's treated you and our family our whole life. So, you know, it's really hard to comprehensively put into words how thankful you are for that. And, you know, more is caught than taught, and I think I see that evident in my life so much, just as I, you know, aspire to, you know, be who he was to us, to my family, and especially to Catherine. But, you know, and then with Mr. Mike, we've gone through so much in my aspirations of, you know, being around Catherine, to wanting to date her a little bit, and wanting to marry her. You know, we had a fun go at it, and you know, sometimes it wasn't that fun, but I gained a lot of confidence. You know, whenever someone makes it that tough for you, and then they tell you that they're confident, you believe them, whether or not, you know, sometimes right. It actually, you know, I gained a lot of confidence. You know, when you start to doubt yourself, you're like, well, shoot, if that guy believes in me, then I guess I can do it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you need that. So, you know, the way Mr. Mike is, you know, just so, in such an unwavering way, has trusted the Lord in so many different circumstances that, you know, are a little personal, but, you know, through his life and with his family and with his girls. And, you know, I admire it so much, just thinking about bringing a little girl into the world. And I was talking to him about this the other day. Just, you know, it'll be interesting to see where all my chips fall when it comes to my daughters, but I don't see him being far off from a lot of the things that he's done. And, you know, just the culmination of the dads that I've had has really helped shape me to the man that I'm going to be. And I think that also puts a little pressure on the other side of the family too, because we got a little girl coming. So, you know, I was talking to Catherine about it yesterday. That little girl is going to be looking up, just like I did to my dad and my father-in-law. That little girl is going to be looking up at her mom and you and Miss Beth, and, you know, three tremendous role models that she's going to have, and also, you know, three kind of, you know, it's like gut check time for the ladies, because now it's y'all's turn to kind of show out a little bit for this little girl. So I know y'all rise to the challenge.
Absolutely, and I cannot believe that there's going to actually be a little cradle girl. I just like, oh my gosh. I wake up at night thinking, did I dream that, or is that really true? And it's like God's blessings. It's just like you said, Trey. I feel like that. I feel like life has given to me since and I got married and we began our family. Life has been better than I ever thought it could be, and it's not that we haven't worked hard, and it's not that we haven't gone through really hard times, but it's like you said, in this world there will be trials and tribulations. For listeners out there, as you listen to our joy and where we are on this day, please know that we have worked and we've walked and we've crawled and we've cried through some really hard times, but we just did what we knew to do, and that was to keep on keeping on, because I do believe in every one of God's promises, and I do believe that that they're all there for us. So wherever you are in life, listener, I pray that you will be encouraged that wherever you are, it's just a stepping stone to where you want to be, that you've taken these advice and these times during our own, during the cradle and the cave milestones, and really and are encouraged by some of the things that you've heard. I want to apologize to the callers who called in that we were not able to stop the conversation to take your call. I'm so sorry. Please, if you will email us, I will get a response back to you. I just didn't seem to be a good time to take a break and all that was going on. We only have about 3 minutes left, and I want to wind down by saying this. I'd like to thank you, Lee, and thank you, Mike, for calling in. I wish we'd had more time. I know that we all join in together, and as families do, loving our children and really stepping into this new milestone. Trey, I've been in my Bible searching for this new role, praying, you know, God, what does this mean? And it's kind of taken me back to when I first had you, of feeling very inadequate what's the next step? I've never been a grandmother. I don't know how to do this. And I found when I don't know how to do something to run to God's word. What I found, and then I'll let you conclude, but Proverbs 17:6, listen to this, and to you grandfathers, and to Beth, I hope that you're listening, and I know that our sweet Catherine was going to try to listen. Catherine is a nurse who's on duty today, but for all of you, Proverbs 17:6 says this, children's children are a crown to old people. Now, I'm not going to take old sitting down, but you know what I'm saying. Children's children are a crown of old people. What that means is, Trey, what you and Catherine are doing through your love is that you, through this birth of this baby girl, you are crowning us. You are crowning us. You are blessing us beyond anything that we can be blessed. And our role, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:22, is to make sure that we are leaving an inheritance to this child. And that inheritance includes wisdom and knowledge and a safe place. So from us to you, this is what I would say. We have loved you in a role of authority as children. We moved into friendship as adults and to another milestone of undergirding you and Catherine in this new role that you have to support you in any way that we can. And we just love you. So, Trey, we've got about a minute. How would you like to sign off our show today, sweet boy?
Thanks for having me on. I don't really know how to sign off one of these things, but I had a great time going through some of this stuff with you.
Yeah, it was really good. And I feel like you gave lots of good advice, and your heart was very pure. And Mike, Lee, we've got just a few seconds. Anybody have a final word for us? Oh, I think they're already gone. Okay, so Trey, thank you, sweet boy, and give Catherine our love. And wasn't that scripture Proverbs 17:6 something? Children's children are a crown to their grandparents. So thank you, sweet boy, and thank you so much for joining us. And give Catherine a hug. And for those who are listening, please know that you can get more information at www.rosesandrainbows.org. And we'll see you next week. Bye, Trey. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, bye, love you.
Bye, love you, honey. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Coffee with Kim, a moment where your past pain connects with your future purpose to create your unique and powerful story.